Dave Williams presents Conversations.buzz.
Robin Bertolucci, what a great pleasure it is to talk with you. I'm sorry, I'm laughing and you're smiling big. I'm just going to go ahead and this is the way I would do it on the air too. I'm just going to fess up. I screwed up really big. We just had a wonderful 35-minute conversation and I found out I was not recording. And this is the second time I've done that. And the first time that person has not deigned to respond to my emails. So my biggest apology to you. But you know what? Maybe it was just kind of a rehearsal and we can boil this down.
I think we're going to nail it this time, Dave. I think we're going to get it great.
It was great. It was pretty good. We started off talking a little bit about your career, about your past. And you started off in radio at KGO in San Francisco. You know, one of the biggest radio stations in the history of radio in this country in terms of news and talk and its giant influence over a massive part of California and beyond that. And I'm just wondering, you know, how does a person get a first job at a station like that?
I begged. Well, Bruce Kamen was a news director at the time.
Yeah.
And I was working at KALX, which is the college radio station, just for fun. And, you know, I graduated with a degree in rhetoric, which doesn't really prepare you for the workforce. So I had graduated and I was trying to get a job and trying to figure out what I could do. And I had no idea. And I was donating some of my time as an intern at KQED back when you could do unpaid internships. Anyway, I begged. I offered to clean the trash, you know, take out the trash, do whatever I could do just to be there. I loved being there. And then my big break happened when the Pope came to San Francisco.
I remember that very well.
Yeah. And I was able to be the copy girl. So I was able to, like, make a zillion copies of information packets for all the hosts. So that was my big breakthrough. I owe it all to the Pope.
A lot of people owe a lot of things to the Pope, whichever Pope you're talking about. All right, from KGO, you went on to KOA and became program director there in Denver. Another great set of call letters, big station with a tremendous reputation. So who were you learning from then? You didn't have somebody above you except, well, the general manager, I guess.
Oh, Lee Larson is a friend, a mentor. I learned so much from Lee Larson. He was amazing. One of the things Lee used to always tell me, because I was kind of a short fuse person at that time, you know, kind of just go get really insanely, I don't know, mad or passionate about things. And he'd say, Robin, you can always get mad later. You don't have to be mad first. But anyway, I learned a tremendous amount from Lee Larson, as I did from Mickey Luckoff and Jack Swanson and John McConnell and that whole crew at KGO.
Yeah. Then KFI, just, 22 years ago. And you've been there for 22 years. And the way you told it to me before was that it just kind of seemed like a natural fit for you. First of all, Southern California is your home, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was born in Illinois, and I had my first birthday on the road to California, grew up in Southern California. So I'm not quite a native, but I'm darn close. And yeah, I've been here 22 years. That's pretty incredible. I still love it. It's an incredibly challenging, fun, wonderful job. But this position felt like a really, really perfect fit for me and my interests and all the things that I've learned along the way that I could apply.
Was it a challenge for you to take over KFI, because KFI was very strong at the time, and its reputation was big and bold in Southern California, which is, you know, a shark pit when it comes to audiences and ratings and all that stuff. Was it a big challenge, or did you just kind of fall into it?
It was very challenging, and it still is very challenging, but it also felt like a really good fit for me. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I felt like I was, when I came to KFI, I felt like I inherited a really beautiful art gallery with all these great talk show hosts and news people and all this incredible talent. And really, you know, a lot of my job, at least at the beginning, was to simply take the paintings off the walls, paint the walls, put better lighting on them, you know, just do some things around the edges that would make them shine a little more brightly.
Yeah.
And that was my goal, was instead of coming in and trying to change everything or put my own mark on it, was just to figure out what was working and see how I could help it work more.
And what kind of radio station is KFI? Is it news? Is it talk? Is it news talk? Is it talk news? Is it, you know,
Yes. It
it's
is
all there.
a live local station. You know, we broadcast live from 5 in the morning until 10 at night, Monday through Friday, and we're live on the weekends, and we cover Southern California. So we are really proud of our news team. KFI's news is second to none. We have an incredible team in that department, and we're also a talk station. And we are about informing and connecting with Southern California.
Is there a key to determining what is relevant and interesting to your audience as opposed to what may be, you know, interesting to you as a talk show host, but maybe not material for on air? You know, how do you focus on that kind of thing?
I think the more that you can know your audience, the more that you can know what interests them. And really trying to hone in on who they are and what lives they're living. You know, what kind of experiences are they going through? What are the challenges that they're having in their own personal lives? You know, whether it's traffic or the quality of the freeways or crime in their communities or fear about their children's schools, you know, what is going on with them, and really digging into that. And I think part of that just comes from being a part of the community and
Yeah.
really knowing what's going on.
Yeah,
And I think that's, I try and hire people that get that.
you're talking about talking to people where they live, about
Yes.
their lives and
Exactly.
the various aspects of their lives. And you mentioned this before when we were talking that you know, if it was the biggest story of the day is from the Gaza and the continuing you know, war going on there. You're going to talk about that. Well, how do you get people living in Southern California driving on the 405 and backed up forever to get interested in what's going on there?
Well, our job isn't to make anybody interested in anything. If I think our job is to talk to them about the things that they're interested in,
Yeah.
right? So, you know, to me, if we're doing our jobs right, we're talking to them about the things that they're already curious about, that they're hearing about, that they want to know more about. Sometimes they're not interested in Gaza, and in that case, we probably shouldn't cover it more than just a few headlines in the news.
Yeah.
So I think that's the key is, you know, hopefully we're reflecting what they want.
Talking about big stories, something that is always a huge story as a new problem this year, I would think, and I'm talking about the presidential election. Good grief. We're going to do Biden and Trump again? You know, it was one of the reasons I was so happy to retire. I was going, I could miss all of this. I mean, I spent 2 years working up to it, and then the 4 years of the Trump presidency, and then the election, and now they're doing the whole thing, and it's like it has never ended. So if you're a talk show producer or a host, how do you treat that story now?
KFI is a live local station, and we will cover the news that we need to cover so people know what's going on. But we don't have a political agenda as a brand. Our job is to talk about the news, what it means, why it matters, and to explain it to people and to connect with them about it. But we'll cover it when we need to, and probably not a lot more than we need to, because our first focus is being live and local. And you know, I think to some degree, most of the country is not thrilled with either choice.
Yeah.
So, to whatever degree we can just be direct about explaining what we believe and why we believe it, and not getting into the team sport of politics, I think that's the real win. You know, I think a lot of brands are very focused on, you know, who the R or the D. And we try and be a live local brand, and we cover politics, we cover traffic, we cover local news, we cover crime. You know, we cover a lot of things. So that is not our only focus.
Yeah. I think you've just touched upon something that's very important there. And there may be an opportunity in this election year for other media outlets to understand and say, you know, this is playing team sports, as you put it, is probably not the best way to go. You get people interested in their issues and less on the personalities, and stop making these broad generalizations about Republicans and Democrats or liberals and conservatives, and let's talk like people. Maybe there's a real opportunity in that this year.
I hope so. I do hope so. I think that, it's kind of aspirational in a way, what we're trying to do, because I think that if you could have a dinner table with your friends, hopefully they're all different. Hopefully they're not all of one mind on all things, and you could have somebody that's really religious, and you could have somebody that's an atheist, and you could have somebody that is, a libertarian, and somebody that's a communist or socialist, or it doesn't matter to me. Like, ultimately, if we can find the common connection of caring about each other and talking about the issues in an intelligent way, so even if I don't agree with you at the end of it, I will respect where you come from. To me, that is the best you can do in this environment.
I think you've pretty well defined your radio station and what it is you're looking for, but we'll come back to the specifics in terms of your show hosts, your on-air personalities. What do you look for in terms of finding new talent when that's a necessity?
I look for people that are incredibly smart. I look for people that have that thing, whatever that thing is. When you watch a movie star on a screen, what is the thing that makes your eyes go to them?
Charisma.
Yeah, charisma, that it factor. I look for people that have that thing that makes you compelled by what they have to say and want to be around them and want to hear what they have to say.
And how has it gone John now that Ken has left, John and Ken?
Well, you talk about an incredible partnership for almost
36 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Incredible. John is doing fantastically. He's doing really well. I think while he was really sorry to see Ken go, mm-hmm. we knew Ken had talked about retiring for a long time, and it finally happened. And John has embraced the challenge, and he's really doing a beautiful job. The ratings are wonderful, and he's keeping the show lively, interesting, and meeting the interests of that audience. So I think he's doing great.
I could take an opportunity to give myself a little plug here with this podcast, because I was able to talk with Ken Shampoo and John Cobalt right at the time when Ken was announcing that he was leaving. And it was a great conversation with both of them. They're both terrific guys. And
they
you
are.
Can see and hear both of those conversations at conversations.buzz. I also wanted to ask you about Tim Conway Jr. And he's moved into drive time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing really well as well. And we're really proud of him. And his show is just a lot of fun. And yet when there's breaking news and it's serious and he has to be serious, he does an incredible job.
Well, I've always been a big fan of his and KFI's, even when I was working across the street, as they say, and I was at KABC, and we were constantly coming in every single day. The first thing you did was you walk in, you put down your coat, and you bang your head against the wall and say, here we go. KFI is still out there, and I don't think can put a dent in it. But thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Especially the overtime. I hope you have a great day, and we'll stay in touch, all right?
I would like that. It's an honor to talk to you, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks.